It's X's and O's with head coach Mike Zimmer on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. X's and O's is presented by Xfinity, your home for the most live sports. Now, from Winter Park, here's the voice of the Minnesota Vikings, Paul Allen.
Hey, what's going on? Indeed, it's X's and O's with Minnesota Vikings head coach Mike Zimmer, presented by Xfinity, your home for the most live sports. Mike Zimmer joins us off an emotional, dramatic victory over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in overtime and takes on a Washington Redskins team that won Monday night against Dallas at Dallas with Colt McCoy also in overtime. Welcome to the show, sir. How are
you? Thank you. I'm well.
Hey, when teams play a Monday night football, frequently the team that is traveling off the Monday night football game on the short week gets all the focus, with people saying, like, you lose a day of prep, stuff like that. What about the team that is playing the team that comes from Monday Night Football? You've kind of lost a little time when it comes to watching the previous game, right?
Right. We have to go back and make sure that we prepare with a game that they played on Monday night in the scouting report that we do. But we get a lot of it done before that Monday, and then we add that one to it.
During the game, early in overtime, Anthony Barr scores the game winning touchdown. During the course of the game, how did you celebrate? Do you remember what you did? Did you jump up and down? Did you crack a smile?
I think I just raised both arms. and then the officials were trying to kick the extra point, and so I was trying to get the team off the field, and there was a bunch of cameras out there. I was telling them to get off the field. So it's hectic like it always is.
What was the confusion with the officiating staff at the end of the game? No extra point, right?
Well, what they told me was in the postseason, you don't kick the extra point when you score a touchdown in overtime, but in the regular season, because of the point totals and right. The playoff implications out of that, we need to kick the extra point. And I told them, I said, right now, I really don't care. Let's just go home.
Well, because I guess that would give the opportunity or the adversary the opportunity to block it, go the other way for six, tie it. Correct? Is that the case?
College. That's a college.
That's a college. Okay, well, then what's the point of kicking the extra point?
Because if two teams are tied and all the tiebreakers, then it comes down to number of points scored.
Oh, I see. Okay, very, very interesting. You said Monday you guys are more physical these days. What do you mean with your team being more physical?
Well, I feel like that we're playing the run much better up front defensively. I felt like we've been running the ball better offensively. I think our backs are running more physical as we get going throughout the season. And part of it is the emphasis that we're placing on everything, keeping the pad level low, making sure we're taking the proper steps and driving people off the ball.
There's been a new strength and conditioning routine put in ever since you got here with a new strength and conditioning coach an assistant guy and just a new way to do it. Have you noticed that maybe eight games into it, now you're starting to see some of the results?
Well, Evan Marcus and Jeff Hurd both are doing a great job, and we continually get better and stronger each week. He told me that last week that all of our maxes have increased during the season, which typically you go down the other way. And so that's a good thing that we keep working on that, and we're trying to build a big, strong, physical football team, and that's part of it.
Tom Johnson, part of your defensive tackle rotation, has a career-best 5 sacks. What's good about Tom Johnson's game?
Well, Tom has excellent quickness. He's smart, like all these other guys. I believe he's getting some help from the ends that are pushing the quarterback back to him some. Same with Sharif Floyd. But Tom has been a very pleasant surprise coming off the street when we got him last year, and he's doing a great job for us.
Shamar Stephan, the rookie from UConn. Is it fair to say that really, I mean, just eight games into it, obviously with a full career ahead of him, you can't do better with a seventh-round pick? I mean, you got Jabari Price in uniform every week, too. Two of three seventh-rounders in uniform every week.
Yeah, Shamar's doing great. We call him the big fundamental because he does everything right, takes the proper steps, gets his hands on the players that we ask him to, plays the runs, plays the passing game. Everything he does is very precise.
Jabari Price, also the seventh-rounder from North Carolina, backup cornerback, plays a fair amount on special teams. Is that his niche right now, and what does he do well on special teams?
Well, the one penalty he had last week was not well. So other than that, he has given great effort, but we got to keep him from trying to grab guys. He's actually getting better each week at corner, and we're playing him at the nickel some, too.
With speaking of special teams, last one here. With Joe Berger playing right guard for you last week, does that in any way strap you on special teams? Does he have to get pulled from anything, given he's playing full-time right guard?
Well, he's pulled from kickoff return, but that was it.
Okay. I'm Mike Zimmer, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings on X's and O's, presented by Xfinity. Talk about Teddy Bridgewater's performance at Tampa.
I thought Teddy did well. He made some great throws, especially in the two-minute situations that we had. He missed a couple throws down the field. He missed a seven route to Jennings. He missed the two to Charles Johnson. But the throw that he made to Greg Jennings for the touchdown was outstanding. But the other thing he's doing well, he's getting us in the right plays, getting us out of the right plays, getting the protection in the right formation. And so... I think overall he's improving quite a bit.
He had a second and 10 late in the game on that game-tying drive throw to Jennings that I would imagine was pretty good, too. Rush was all over him. He's going backwards. You probably, technique-wise, would like to see something different, but he got it to Greg right in front of you, and that was a big play.
Yeah, that was a big play. And when he checked over the middle, Chase Ford, and then came back to him late. But he did throw it off his back foot, but he hummed it out there.
Are you noticing with Teddy, for instance, like you said, he just say Chase Ford's the first option. He looks there. There was a play somewhere during the game where it seemed like he looked at Chase to the right side, slot right, and it was covered. And then he swung back to the left, looked at Greg. It was covered. Went to Cordero between Greg and a defender, and it seemed like a very crafty play. Does he do stuff like that a lot?
He's getting better at all those kind of things, reading the different coverages. You know, he's getting, as all rookies do, you get a lot of different looks defensively and a lot of things that you haven't prepared for during the week. They're always trying to disguise the young guys, and they're always trying to give him a bunch of different looks that he hasn't seen before. So the more that he sees these, the more that he's in these situations, the more comfortable he's going to feel.
Is he consciously not running as much as he did, like back around the Atlanta game?
I don't think so. I think he ran for a first down early in a ball game, and you know, I think when it's there, it presents itself to him. He's going to go ahead and take it. But you know, his job is to get the ball out and get it to the right places.
So I mean, for instance, like one of those long foul balls to Charles Johnson, deep left side, like front left of the end zone. Good coverage by Jonathan Banks. If it had been a perfect pass to the five, it might have gotten down there. But in looking back at it, the safety seemed to have his back turned to Teddy, and there was like 30 yards in front of him right there. You know, is that where when you watch it back with him, you say, Teddy, you have to take that?
Well, some of it. But, you know, we were trying to get the shot to Charles Johnson, and that was his first read, and he had a chance. Charles had him beat. And then the rest of it all becomes feel. We don't tell him, hey, just take off and run. We tell him to read it out, and if you get a certain coverage, then go ahead and if you feel good about it, take off.
The rookie running back, Jerick McKinnon, is averaging 5.2 yards per carry, which is terrific. Is the pass protection working out okay for him, too?
Yes, he's doing much better in pass protection the last 2 weeks. He's done quite well. That's part of it. His threat of coming out of the backfield, catching the ball, is also helps a lot in those situations, and obviously when he's running the football, that's been pretty good.
With the Washington Redskins off the Monday night overtime victory at Dallas, do you expect Colt McCoy to play this weekend, or is it still a little up in the air?
Well, we're still up in the air. We're prepared for both of them, and we'll find out a little later on this week.
What can you tell us about the Redskins off what you've seen from the previous games and Monday?
Well, they're ranked very high in both offensively and defensively. Defensively, they've got an excellent front. They do a great job in the pressure package in on the third down, so I'm sure they'll be giving us a lot of different looks and pressures. Offensively, they've got some terrific speed with Pierre Garçon and
Deshaun Jackson.
Yep. And
tight end Jordan Reed's pretty good.
Yeah, actually, they've got two tight ends that are good. And then Alfred Morris, their offensive line is very good. Williams from Oklahoma is an excellent left tackle. So it's going to be a very good test for us again this week.
And their coach in closing is Jay Gruden, a man with whom you worked in Cincinnati. What do you know about Jay offensively?
Well, I saw him every day, but he saw me every day, too, so for 2 years. But Jay's a very innovative coach. He's a good guy. He got our young guys to play very well offensively when I was there, and I have a lot of respect for him.
Do you enjoy weeks like this when you're very familiar with the head coach personally and professionally?
Not really.
All right. Well, thank you. Thanks a lot, Coach.
All right. You're welcome.
Good luck. That's Mike Zimmer, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, for the weekly X's and O's presented by Xfinity. We invite you to join me and Paul Charchian this Friday from Buffalo Wild Wings in Oakdale for the Friday Football Feast presented by Miller Lite. Check out the complete schedule at Vikings.com and on the Paul Allen Show page at KFAN.com. More X's and O's around the corner on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network.
Business is booming, a chain company, and
welcome back to X's and O's presented by Xfinity. We thank Mike Zimmer, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, for joining us. And now we are happy to be joined by Mike's son, Adam, who is the linebackers coach for the Minnesota Vikings. Congratulations on the victory at Tampa, Adam.
Thanks. It was an exciting win for us. I was really excited that we could finally get a win, and we needed it. We'd had a few weeks without one, so we're really excited now.
And Anthony Barr was the one with the strip, picks up the ball, gets into the end zone, wins the game. You've worked extensively with Anthony this year. We will talk more in depth about the outstanding rookie from UCLA a little later, but overall, what did you think of that play?
Well, I think it was an outstanding play by him. At first, I wish he would have expanded a little bit more with the tight end. Technically, that's not his play, but as the play developed, we'd like him to get out a little wider. But once he got out there and got the ball out, he got a plus for the play, for sure.
So the Mike Zimmer just came out in his son, right?
Right.
For instance, I'm talking yesterday when I taped with your father for tonight's show, X's and O's, we're talking about the fact that we have two seventh-round draft picks, Shamar Stephen and Jabari Price, who are in uniform every week. Jabari's right behind Andrew Sendejo for special teams tackles. All excited about it. And your dad pipes right in. Shouldn't have that special teams penalty in the Tampa game. We talk about Barr's crowning moment, so to speak, and then you immediately mentioned that maybe he was a little bit out of position or something.
He wasn't completely out of position, but technically you can correct every play. So, you know, we want to be perfect on every play. You're not going to be perfect on any play, but he ended up making a heck of a play that, you know, you're not going to overcoach too much.
Outside of your father being in the National Football League as long as he has, what motivated you to become a coach in the National Football League?
I think just being around the game as much as I was growing up, being around the players, going to training camp with my dad all the time, going to practice and watching tape with him, and just the competition on game day. I loved going to the games and just being by my dad on the sideline. I couldn't imagine not having that in my life now.
What is it like being Mike Zimmer's son?
It's different every day because after a win, he's usually pretty happy, and not always. Sometimes if we win and don't play good, he's not happy. But then if we lose, he's in a terrible mood and mad at everybody. But I've been used to that for 30 years.
So. Through your dad's travels throughout the National Football League, who are some of the more interesting people you have met?
There's quite a few. I'd say Deion Sanders is probably top of that list. He would always kind of take me under his wing at training camp and try and teach me how to wear my uniform and stuff like that. So Deion probably takes the cake.
The 2009 season when you were with the New Orleans Saints, I believe it was 3 years, maybe 4 years into your coaching career, mm-hmm. But you were with that Saints squad as an assistant coach on the defensive side. Saints won the Super Bowl that year, beating the Indianapolis Colts. Saints also beat the Vikings in the NFC title game in a very, very emotional NFC championship game. What was that like for you? What was the whole process of the season, winning that tightly contested overtime game, and then winning the Super Bowl?
It was definitely a whirlwind season. We started the season 13-0, and during that stretch, I also lost my mother. So the ups and downs of that season were way up and way down. Mm. And then we started 13-0 and lost three games in a row, and everyone says we don't have a chance. No team's ever done that before. And we go into the playoffs and end up winning the Super Bowl. So we had a lot of highs and a lot of lows during that season. It was up and down.
Adam, when you were with New Orleans that season in the Super Bowl, were you privy to the conversation that there was going to be an onside kick to begin the second half? And if so, what'd you think?
Yeah, we had practiced it all week, and the kicker was kicking the you-know-what out of it. It was perfect every time. And actually, when he kicked it in the game, it was probably the worst one he kicked all week, and that's why we had to scrum for it on the sideline. But Sean told us at halftime he was going to do it to start the second half, and we were excited we got the ball. It was a big momentum swing at the point.
And the next year you went to Kansas City, correct?
Correct.
Assistant coach with the Kansas City Chiefs. Correct. So how long did you have to bask in the glory of working with a Super Bowl winning team?
Well, not too long. I ended up interviewing with the Chiefs at the combine that year and then taking the job. So it was a couple weeks. I ended up going to a parade in New Orleans, and then couple weeks later, I was on my way moving to Kansas City.
What did you learn, despite being a defensive coach, you went against him every day in practice, what did you learn about a player's preparation and the art of perfection when working with Drew Brees?
Well, Drew is the ultimate preparing guy. You know, he studies the game better than anybody I've been around. Between him and Jonathan Vilma, who I was working with at the time, nobody studied more than those two. And the other thing is they were so competitive. Every day in practice, they would be competing against each other. We're going to stop you here, you know, and stuff like that. So just learning how they went at it, and it was really fun to see.
Last one on where you've been. When you were with Kansas City, outside of athletic ability, what makes Tamba Hali such a good player?
Well, it goes back to work ethic again. Again, Tamba constantly works on his pass rush ability, his hands. He goes out 2 hours before every game and goes through almost the game by himself. He comes in drenched because he's working on his technique and his hands, his footwork, all that. And it shows on game day how hard he works.
From the time you would travel to Southern California, if only to work with film with Anthony Barr while he was taking part in that quarter system and couldn't be here for most, if not all, of the organized team activities. From that time to where he is now, how far has Anthony Barr come?
Well, he's definitely come a long way. He picks things up very quickly. You rarely have to tell him things twice, but he really has not played a stack linebacker in his career until he got here. He was always an outside linebacker, rushing off the edge, dropping off the edge. So he's really had to train his eyes to look in the right place, step with the right foot, and the transition, how fast it's happened, is amazing. He's really been impressive with it.
Don't you think one of the real underrated things about Anthony, where a lot of people talk about his speed and his power, and the pass coverage seems to be a work in progress, but you can't have everything at once. We're only 8 games into it. He's never on the ground. It's like you watch things back, like Anthony never gets knocked down or falls down. Is that accurate?
Yeah, and that goes back to athletic ability, but it also goes back to stepping in the right direction and making the right reads, because if you're doing that, you're probably not going to get cut by offensive linemen. You're going to be in the right position, and then you're going to have a chance to make plays.
You, Adam Zimmer, linebackers coach for the Minnesota Vikings, is on X's and O's presented by Xfinity. He's head coach Mike Zimmer's son. We'll wrap it up talking about a couple more players, then we'll get an adversarial update on the Washington Redskins. Off Anthony Barr, working with Chad Greenway, almost to the day, you are a year younger than Chad Greenway. What's the dynamic like with that relationship?
I think Chad and I have a great relationship. I think because we're so close in age, we kind of have the same mindset about things, so we can really bounce things off of each other, and he's seen a lot of football in his day, so you know, I can ask him how he sees things, and he'll respond, and then I'll tell him how I see things, and then we kind of get on the same page. But it's good to have a guy like Chad in the room, because he helps out the younger guys, because we have a lot of young guys just trying to learn the game. He teaches them how to study. He teaches them how to work, and he really keeps them in line, along with myself and my father and everything.
What has been difficult to work around not having Gerald Hodges, given he's been out a patch of games with injury?
Well, you kind of have to shuffle guys around, because Gerald played multiple positions for us. He was able to step in when Chad got hurt. So you kind of have to prepare in case something happens to Chad or Anthony. And so you got to move guys around, teach them different positions. Hopefully we have Gerald back soon, because he did a lot of good things when he was in the game.
And doesn't it permit Anthony Barr in sub packages, nickel and or dime, to play some left defensive end?
He could, yeah. I don't know how much we would do that, because he's been so good at what he's been doing. Yep. You know, you don't want to mess him up a lot, but that's something that gives us flexibility to put Anthony at defensive end at certain times in the game.
I enjoyed the chat. Thank you very much for the time. Best of luck against Washington,
all right,
okay?
Thanks.
Adam Zimmer, linebackers coach for the Minnesota Vikings. Hey, join Mike Musselman along with Vikings linebacker Audie Cole for Vikings Country tomorrow at 6 p.m. at Jimmy's in Vadnais Heights. You can win great prizes, including a trip to the Miller Lite touchdown in the tropics in Cancun. Visit Vikings.com/Vikings Country for more information. Joining us now to close X's and O's is Mike Wabshaw from Vikings.com. This is the adversarial update where we try to figure out exactly who the Washington Redskins are. It's a 3-5 team that just pulled quite a nice upset Monday night against Dallas, but also had a three-game losing streak where it lost those games by a combined 51 points. So I ask you, who are these Washington Redskins?
Hard to get a handle on it, Paul. They're just as we are. They're dealing with injuries, particularly a quarterback. They've started three different quarterbacks this season. RG3, Kirk Cousins, and of course Colt McCoy, who had the victory over Dallas on Monday night. So it's tough to get a handle on him, because when you go back and you want to study a team, you know, almost every game you study, there's a different quarterback, and obviously the offense is going to change significantly based on who the quarterback is. One thing that won't change, though, is I think we're going to see some read option. And even though Colt McCoy does not have RG3's running ability in terms of vision and athleticism, they still use the read option. In fact, they scored two touchdowns against Dallas off of read option plays. You know, the Vikings use the read option from time to time, but it's a run-pass option where if Teddy does not hand the ball off, he doesn't run with it. He throws it. The Redskins will run with the quarterback if they don't hand it to the running back. So this is a good physical offensive line. Minnesota's very own Tom Compton is the starting right tackle as of last week. He's from Rosemont, Minnesota. So this is an offensive line that's pretty physical. They like to run the ball with Alfred Morris. They like to run the read option. And then once they got you mesmerized by that, they like to go over the top with DeSean Jackson. So it can be a dangerous offense because it's explosive with that speed on the outside, but it's also powerful.
Very nice outside linebacker too in Ryan Kerrigan.
On defense, love Ryan Kerrigan. Very good player for them. And I think, you know, Brian Arakpo, who's another outside linebacker for them, gets a lot of the hype, and now he's injured and out for the season. But I think Ryan Kerrigan is every bit as good of a player, maybe better, and he'll be playing in this game. He acts more like a defensive end. He's listed as an outside linebacker, but he really plays defensive end and very good at setting the edge, very good on setting up pass rush moves, very aware where he's not going to get home. He's going to jump and bat passes down. Very good player for them. Probably their best defensive player right now. D'Angelo Hall is hurt at corner. As I said, Brian Arakpo not in this game. They lost London Fletcher, who we've gone against a number of times. I think Ryan Kerrigan is their best player.
Last one, 45 seconds. The winning formula to beating the Washington Redskins.
We need to be stout against the run. Our defensive ends, Brian Robinson and Everson Griffin, need to penetrate upfield right at the snap and force their running backs to run wider than they want. Our corners need to set the edge in those runs and force everything back inside, and our linebackers need to chase and tackle in order to do that. Our defensive tackles have to occupy blockers. I think this is a big game for Linval Joseph, and I know Sharif's hot, but this is a big game for Shamar Stephen. Offensively, playing at home, I think you just got to take care of the ball, let your defense give you good field position, and play off of that, and then offensively, just take care of the ball.
Great job. Mike Wabshaw, Vikings.com. We thank Adam and Mike Zimmer for joining X's and O's, presented by Xfinity. We're the producers with FM 100.3, The Fan, and the Vikings Radio Network are Eric Nordquist, and with the Vikings Entertainment Network, Jay Nelson. For all of us here with the Minnesota Vikings, thank you very much for listening to the radio show, and I'm Paul Allen. That's X's and O's with Mike Zimmer, presented by Xfinity, on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. You're listening.